Humble Hero, Chapter 38. Christ and the Twelve Take a Vacation. When they returned from their missionary tour, the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." The disciples' close relationship with Jesus encouraged them to tell him about their good and bad experiences as evangelists. As they frankly told Christ of their experiences, he saw that they needed much instruction. He saw, too, that they needed rest. But where they were then, they could not find privacy, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. The people were crowding around Christ, anxious to be healed and eager to listen to his words. To many, he seemed to be the fountain of all blessings. But now Christ longed to be away from the crowds, because he had much to say to his disciples. Sometimes in their work, they had been very troubled to know what to do. Now they needed to go to a place of seclusion, where they could talk privately with Jesus and receive instruction for future work. They had been putting their whole souls into labor for the people, and this was exhausting their physical and mental strength. It was their duty to rest. As the disciples had seen their work succeed, they were in danger of taking credit to themselves, of cherishing spiritual pride and falling under Satan's temptations. They must learn that their strength was not in themselves, but in God. They needed to spend time with Christ, with nature, and with their own hearts. It was about this time that Jesus received the news of John the Baptist's death. This brought vividly to his mind the end to which his own steps were leading. Priests and rabbis were watching. Spies followed him closely, and plots for his destruction were multiplying. News reached Herod of Jesus and his work. "This is John the Baptist," he said. "He is risen from the dead." And he expressed a desire to see Jesus. Herod was in constant fear of a revolution that might overthrow him and break the Roman yoke from the Jewish nation. Among the people, the spirit of revolt was everywhere. It was evident that Christ's public work in Galilee could not continue long, and he yearned to get away from the confusion of the crowds for a little while. With saddened hearts, the disciples of John had carried his mutilated body to its burial. Then they went and told Jesus. These disciples had been envious of Christ and had doubted his divine mission because he did not set the Baptist free. But now they longed for consolation in their great sorrow and for guidance regarding their future work. They came to Jesus and united their cause with his. At the northern end of the lake was a lonely region, beautiful with the fresh green of spring. They set out in their boat for this place. The scenes of nature were a rest in themselves, refreshing to the senses. Here they could listen to Christ without the angry interruptions, rebuttals, and accusations of the scribes and Pharisees. Rest refreshed them. Christ and his disciples did not devote time they spent in seclusion to pleasure-seeking. They talked together regarding the work of God and the possibility of greater effectiveness. Christ corrected their errors and made plain to them the right way of approaching the people. They were vitalized by divine power and inspired with hope and courage. When Jesus said that the harvest was great and the laborers few, he did not urge endless work, but said, "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. God would not have a few workers crushed with responsibilities, while others have no burden, no urgency of heart. Christ's words of compassion apply to his workers today. "Come aside by yourselves and rest a while." It is not wise to be always under the strain of ministering to other people's spiritual needs. For in this way we neglect personal piety and overtax soul and body. God requires self-denial, but we must be careful that Satan does not take advantage of our human weakness and the work of God be damaged. As activity increases and we become successful in doing any work for God, there is a tendency to pray less and to have less faith. We lose sight of our dependence on God and seek to make a Savior out of our activity. It is Christ's power that does the work. We must take time for meditation, prayer, and study of the Word. Only the work accomplished with much prayer and sanctified by Christ's merit will prove effective for good in the end. Never too busy to talk with God. No other life was so crowded with work as was that of Jesus. Yet how often he was found in prayer. Again and again we find records such as these. Having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him in their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Luke chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, chapter 6, verse 12. The Savior found it necessary to turn aside from a life of endless activity and contact with human needs to seek unbroken fellowship with his Father. As one with us, he was entirely dependent on God. In the secret place of prayer, he sought divine strength so that he could go out braced for duty and trial. Jesus endured struggles and torture of soul. In fellowship with God, he could unburden the sorrows that were crushing him. As a man, he brought his request to the throne of God, till his humanity was charged with a heavenly current that could connect humanity with divinity. He received life from God in order to give life to the world. His experience is to be ours. Today, if we would take time to go to Jesus and tell him our needs, we would not be disappointed. He is the wonderful counselor. We are invited to ask wisdom of him. He gives to all liberally and without reproach. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 5. Everyone needs a personal experience in obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. Individually, we must hear him speaking to the heart. When every other voice is hushed and in quietness, we wait before him. The silence of the heart makes more distinct the voice of God. See Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. Here alone, we can find true rest. Those who are refreshed in this way will reveal a divine power that will reach people's hearts.